job, didn't you? It's good to see each one here this morning. We're glad you're able to be here, and we're thankful that you're here. It's encouraging to see you here this morning. And as W.A. mentioned, we have those that are out that cannot be here for a reason beyond their control. Some are visiting other places because of various things, Bible school or gospel meetings or family, but we miss them when they're not here also. Amos chapter 4, if you will, turn there, and we'll be looking at verses 14 and 15 for the basis of our lesson this morning. If you remember last Sunday morning, we had two lessons about doing good. We began that short series of studies from Galatians chapter 6, based on Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 through 10, where the Apostle Paul tells us to help other people that have problems, that are Christians, to restore them in the spirit of meekness and consider our own self, lest we also be tempted. Then in verse 10 of Galatians chapter 6, he said, "Therefore, as you have therefore opportunity, do good to all men, especially to those of the household of faith." So doing good was emphasized by the Apostle Paul numerous times in his writings. And this morning we're going to look at a few scriptures concerning things that Paul was involved in that shows good, and also Peter, some of the other early Christians, and some other folks in the Bible that are examples of doing good. But even you go back to the Old Testament and from the very beginning in the creation, when God made Adam and Eve and put them in the garden, he emphasized that the things that were there in the garden were good for them. When God created everything, he saw that it was good. It was good for man. And then he put man there, and one thing was lacking. He needed a helpmeet. So he made a woman from the side of the man, wherewith he made the woman and gave her to Adam, and she became his wife, and they were husband and wife. And he put them in the garden and said, "You have everything you need. You can eat of any fruit and all the fruit of the garden except the fruit of the tree in the middle of the garden. That fruit you shall not eat thereof, for in the day you do, you shall surely die." God was emphasizing to Adam and Eve at that point that I want you to do good. I want you to listen to my instructions. What is here is good for you. Use it for good, and use it in a good way. Use it in the right way. But if you step out of line and you go over to this tree that's evil and you take of it, something's bad going to happen, and you'll no longer be involved in just doing good. And when you step away from doing good and you find out about evil and you do that, then things are going to go bad. And it did, didn't it? She ate the fruit when she was tempted. She gave to him and he ate. And God put him out of the garden, put him away from the tree of life. Man make a living by the sweat of his brow. The woman in the travail of childbearing. And they were out in sin. And so they were separated from God. And so man sins. And we have sin in our life. And God emphasized that as human beings, that our heart would be right toward God. And that being right toward him, that we'd listen to his words, heed his words, apply his words to us. And as we talked about in our class Wednesday night, that we would get knowledge, that we'd get understanding, and in all this get wisdom. That is the proper application of knowing how to apply that which we have learned. And so we get wisdom by applying the things that we've learned. We get wisdom by applying things that we experience in life. And so we apply the wisdom that comes from God, which is good. The wisdom that comes down from above. We get wisdom and learning from that. And when we do that, what happens? We become good people. We're not perfect people. We're not sinless people. But we become good as God would have us to be. We follow Christ and his teachings. And if we follow his example, as we talked about last Sunday morning in our sermons, that Jesus, he set the perfect example. He did no sin. There was no guile found in his mouth. When he reviled not again. And he left the perfect example that we should do what? Follow in his steps. So we have the instructions, we have the pattern, and we have the will, and we have the means, we have the way, in order that we can do good. I know you want to do good, or you wouldn't be here today. I see in your lives good the years I've known most of you, I've known that you have done good. And so that's what we want to do, is continue to do good all the days of our life so we can serve God faithfully. And as Barry prays in his prayer so often, that we would be found in an opportunity to pray to God and be in a good condition with Him before death and leave this life in what? In a good manner, in good shape, in the sight of God. So we all know that being good is important. And in saying that, we also know that there's a lot of evil that goes on in the world. And it's not just now in 2022. It just didn't happen in 2022 or 2021 or after the year 2000. It's always been that way with mankind. Since the fall of man in the Garden of Eden, there has been sin existing. The serpent and the devil and his forces has always been there. So we've got to make that choice. Are we going to follow the straight and narrow way that leads to righteousness, which is good, or the wide way, the broad way that leads to destruction, which is evil? And so we have a choice. This morning, let's go back to Amos chapter 4, verses 14 and 15. And we studied these books with Brother Guthrie and some others in the Old Testament and in the last few years, but let's look back to Amos chapter 4 and verse 14. Seek good and not evil, that you may live. So we look at the first part of that verse, and God gives instructions to the people, and He says, seek good and not evil. They had a choice. And we know that up at this point, many of them had made the choice not to do good. They were doing evil in the sight of God. And they had to repent many times and come back to Him. And when they would, He would accept them and forgive them. And then they'd go out among evil people or follow the evil ways of the nations around them or in their own hearts. They'd get filled with idolatrous thoughts and evil ways. And they'd do evil and they'd separate from God and no longer do good. He'd punish them. And He says, seek good and not evil that you may live. And so seeking good is important all the way through life so that what? So that we may live eternally in heaven and enjoy the blessings of eternal life there, of comfort and peace and joy around the throne of God, rather than living bad and dying and suffering evil things in hell. The fire that burns, the unquenchable fire. The torment that's there. You think about the terrible thought of hell when the rich man died and he lifted up his eyes in hell and he looked across the way that he couldn't go to, and there was Abraham. He saw Lazarus in Abraham's bosom, but he couldn't go there. But Lazarus was what? Comforted. And the rich man was punished. Would you send someone over there just to get someone to come and bring some water and just put it on the tip of my tongue? I'm in torments here. That was a bad thing. What brought that on? Well, not doing good. The rich man died and he lifted up his eyes in hell. Lazarus did good and he was comforted in Abraham's bosom. That's what we want, is to live good so we have a good life in eternity. Amos chapter 4 and verse, chapter 5. I said chapter 4, I'm sorry. Amos chapter 5 and verse 14. Seek good and not evil, that you may live. And thus may the Lord God of hosts be with you, just as you have said. Hate evil and love good. So, verse 14, seek good and not evil. Verse 15, hate evil, love good. And establish justice in the gate. Perhaps the Lord God of hosts, may He be gracious to the remnant of Joseph. So even then, in the Old Testament, in the days of Amos, the people were encouraged to do what? To do good. Today we're encouraged, we're commanded, we're admonished, and we're required to do good if we want to reap that which is good in everlasting life. Because we know Galatians tells us that whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. If we sow to the flesh, we shall of the flesh reap corruption. That's a bad thing. But if we sow to the Spirit, we shall of the Spirit reap everlasting life. That's a good thing. I've got a choice. I need to make that choice to do good. This morning, let's take a few minutes and continue with a slide we left off with last week in our lesson with Andrew. We're talking about good people, good examples in the Bible. Let's go to the Gospel of John, chapter 1, if you will. And let's look at Andrew. Andrew was a man that was good, and that he did good in bringing someone to Jesus. When Andrew found out who Jesus was, he went and brought someone else to Jesus. That's a good thing. Let's read these verses. John chapter 1, beginning in verse 35 and going through verse 42. Again the next day, John was standing with two of his disciples, and he looked upon Jesus as he walked and said, "Behold the Lamb of God." And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. And Jesus turned and beheld them following and said to them, "What do you seek?" And they said to him, "Rabbi," which translated means teacher, "where are you staying?" He said to them, "Come and you will see." They came therefore and saw where he was staying, and they stayed with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He found first his own brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which is translated means Christ. He brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon the son of John. You shall be called Cephas," which is translated Peter. So here's a man that learned about Jesus. He then went and got someone and brought them to Jesus, so they too could know the Lord. That was a good thing. Today in our life, one of the main things that we're to be doing in obeying God and serving Him is telling others about Jesus. Is that not right? Going to all the world and preach the gospel to every creature? He that is taught in the Word, let him share good with those who teach, and let us teach other men who also will learn and be able also to do what? Teach others. It's a good thing to bring others to Christ and let them learn about Jesus and salvation, what He did, and what the Father's will is in giving Jesus and Jesus giving His life for our sins. The world needs to know about Jesus and salvation and good. It's a good thing if we'll do as Andrew did and bring someone or invite someone into our home to teach, to study the Bible, and bring the Word of God to people. Bring people to Christ through the Word of God. Andrew did good by bringing someone to Jesus. Are we doing good by bringing people to Jesus? Our own family, our spouses, our children, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren, our neighbors, our co-workers, our business associates. Are we bringing others to the Lord? And oftentimes, we may not have to speak a word to them as far as inviting or necessarily having a Bible study with them. They may see enough of Christ in us by the way we treat them and the way we treat others and the way we speak and the places we go and the things they do, that it will register in their mind and say, "Hey, you know, what is it? What is it, Barry, that you're doing? I want some of that. I want to know what it is you're doing that I don't ever hear you say a curse word. You seem to handle tense situations okay. And I know you go to Bible study and you go to Bible classes, you go to worship." And that they can see that, so we can bring people to Jesus by what? By our example. By the way we live. But also, like Andrew did, say, "Hey, come and see Jesus. Come and learn about Jesus." There's a Bible school going on, and there's a meeting going on at Westview. There's a meeting will be ending, I guess, a singing in a meeting this afternoon at Hansville. And they send out invitations, just like we send out invitations to the meetings that we have here. That's an invitation to come and know Jesus. We can bring people to the Lord by inviting them to the services or to gospel meetings or gospel singings or to a Bible study. Another example of someone who did good was Joseph of Arimathea. Turn with me, if you will, to Matthew chapter 27. When the Lord was put to death on the cross, this rich man, Joseph of Arimathea, he did good by making sure that Jesus received a proper burial. Let's note what this man did, this good deed. Matthew chapter 27, verse 57. And when it was evening, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who himself had also become a disciple of Jesus. This man went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then Pilate ordered it to be given over to him. And Joseph took the body and wrapped it in a clean linen cloth and laid it in his own new tomb, which he had hewn out of the rock. And he rolled a large stone against the entrance of the tomb and went away. Here's a man who cared for the Lord. He had followed Jesus. And when Jesus died, he wanted to make sure he had a proper burial. That's a good thing. That's a good thing. That people make sure that others have a proper burial. Some of you may have been involved in situations, as I have a few times over the years, that someone dies and the family really can't afford to do what they need to bury someone. They're very financially strapped. And of course, if you've ever been to a funeral or did a funeral of someone that had nothing, and you go and you do that funeral, I'm talking about as far as some way to pay for a funeral. No family to pay for it. It's a sad situation when a funeral home has to take care of that body and make sure it's buried, and you'll go and you'll say a few words about that person, and you see, but you see the good of someone who helped to get them in the ground. And so it is like a couple of years ago, or three, I don't remember how long it's been, this child died, and the young couple had no insurance. They had nothing. And the man at the funeral home called me, and he said, we're going to do this funeral, and you're going to be doing the funeral. He said, you know, this family had nothing. And he said, and he went back. He said, you know, Charles, we set this up at my service several years ago, that if a child dies, that we've got this fund set aside that Grady Moss and some of them started, and he said we still access that if a child dies that has no family, no means to help them get a proper burial, that we would see to it that they get in a little casket and get buried. And you go to the grave and you put that body in the ground. But someone somewhere saw the need to help someone who had nothing to be able to get that child a proper burial. That's a good thing. And so Joseph of Arimathea did a good thing. Tabitha, all of you are familiar. Any one of you in the building this morning could tell this event. Acts chapter 9, beginning in verse 36. I believe this was their Bible reading last Sunday morning, and we didn't get this far in our lesson. We had to start over. So Tabitha is given as an example of one who did good in her life by the deeds she did, the things she made for others, the kindness she had toward people around them, and she was loved for it. Acts chapter 9, beginning in verse 36. Now in Joppa there was a certain disciple named Tabitha, which is translated in Greek is called Dorcas. This woman was abounding with good deeds, kindness and charity, which she continually did. So here's a woman that did good. And it came about at that time that she fell sick and died. And when they had washed her body, they laid it in the upper room. And since Lydia was near Joppa, the disciples, having heard that Peter was there, sent two men to him, entreating him, "Do not delay to come to us." And Peter arose and went with them. And when he had come, they brought him into the upper room. And all the widows stood beside him, weeping and showing all the tunics and garments that Dorcas used to make while she was with them. But Peter sent them all out and knelt down and prayed, and turning to the body, he said, "Tabitha, arise." And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. Let's go back up to verse 30. They were weeping, and they were showing all the tunics and garments that Dorcas used to make while she was with them. Go back to verse 36. What kind of woman was Tabitha? What kind of person was she? If you call her Dorcas the Tabitha, that's her name. This woman was abounding with deeds of kindness and charity. She was abounding in good deeds. Will that be said of you? Can that be said of me? Hopefully it will be. Doing good is very important. Good deeds is important to do good. First century Christians did good. We're going to run out of time again. But anyway, let's move to Acts chapter 2. The early Christians did good. Acts chapter 2 verses 44 and 45. They did good in the fact that when there were those among them in Jerusalem, they stayed around a while, you know, and some time went by, and some of them that were there, they didn't have the means to continue staying. They needed a place to stay. They needed food because they were waiting around because of the gospel. They'd learned the truth, and the church was growing. It was abounding, and disciples were all of one mind and one accord, and from house to house, daily they were at the apostles' feet, praying and listening to the teaching of the apostles and breaking bread and helping one another. That those who had need, they helped them. Acts chapter 2, verse 44 and 45. Let's look at those verses. And all those who had believed were together and had all things in common. And they began selling their property and possessions and sharing them with all as anyone might have need. So we understand that they had come there from about 14 or 15 different nations, these Jews, to be there on the day of Pentecost. And they obeyed the gospel. They were baptized, and the number was great, and they were there together. And so some of those that were there ended up there. They needed some things. And these Christians, they did good by what? By helping those that were in need. Helping those that were in need. I know I've told this story before, but I want to mention it again. Jan Farley grew up down the road from this couple. I don't know, it might be 2 or 3 miles. And he knew that, I don't mind telling their last name, Ever Guthrie's. But he knew this couple growing up and their daughter. But they attended church at Prospect, and they got old and they were feeble. And she was living there with them, trying to take care of them and working. And they were not able to do anything. And he was so feeble, they couldn't get out to attend services anymore, either one of them. And so their house, with the paint was coming off of it, and it was and the front porch, the boards were beginning to bow up, wood porch, and the paint was peeled off of it, and some of the brethren at Prospect said, let's get together and get the paint, now let's go down there, and some of us will scrape, and some of us will clean up, and some of us will paint, and some of us will come behind and clean that up, and we'll do it in one day. And so we met down there one Saturday morning about at daylight. And their daughter knew we were coming. And they were in the house asleep. And we started scraping, and we started working with brushes and scrapes, and we cleaned and we worked. And about 15 or 20 men and several of the ladies, the wives, my wife was there, and they were working. They were getting brushes ready and rollers, and we painted that entire house top to bottom and on the front porch. And late that afternoon, I'll never forget it, the daughter come to the door and she said, I want to bring Daddy and Mama out here. Y'all help me get them out here so they can see this house. And they got them out and down in their chairs and got them out there in the front yard. And the tears were in those old folks' eyes. Two brother and sister in Christ. To see something like that, because someone had a need and someone cared enough to help, a helping hand. And I know there's a lot of folks here that gives helping hands. I hear about things you do. You drop off some tomatoes, or you drop off a food. You drop off meal. You take someone to the doctor. You pick someone up and you bring them to services. That's doing good. And that's what the Lord wants us to do. So we got time for one more point this morning. And that's Acts chapter 8, verses 1 through 4. The first century Christians did good by going out to teach others. We've already talked about bringing others to Christ, bringing them to the Lord. But in Acts chapter 8, these Christians were under distress. They were scattered abroad because of persecution. Saul was breathing out threatenings against the church, and they were scattered abroad. And what did they do? They went everywhere preaching the word. And what happened? Oh, when they went down to Samaria, and they went on over to Macedonia, and they went on to places that we see on the places they went to and the places that Paul went to, the gospel was spread. Good was done by first century Christians. By wherever they went, what they do, they were teaching the word. We can do good today by teaching the Word wherever we're at. In our own house, in our own community, in another state, at work, at business, in school, wherever it is, we can do good. Let us choose to do good and not evil. Let us not do evil, but do good, as Amos 4 tells us, and as Galatians 10 tells us. Let us, as we have therefore opportunity, not just do good ourselves, but to do good to all people, especially to those of the household of faith. I hope the lesson that we studied last Sunday morning and this morning about doing good, I know it's nothing new. If it was, we'd probably be in trouble. But I hope it's Scripture, and if it is, I hope it will encourage you to continue to doing good in your life and to look around and be encouraged when you see the good that other people are doing. If we can help you this morning in any way, if you would like to be baptized into Christ, or if you need the prayers of the brethren, please come while W.A. leads us in the invitation song.